Let us pray.
Almighty God, whose Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, is the light of the world, grant that your people, illumined by your word and sacraments, may shine with the radiance of Christ's glory, that he may be known, worshipped, and obeyed to the ends of the earth, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Can you imagine a world without music? I certainly can't. The beautiful melodies and harmonies, the crescendos and cadences, even the dissonance that we find in 12-tone scales, all together is gloriously wonderful. And we don't frequently think how important songs are in our everyday life. We might be in the shower, in the car, singing Adele's catchy tune, "Hello, it's me." Or with the sad news this week, we might have remembered and sing David Bowie's classic Space Oddity out loud a time or two. "This is ground control to Major Tom." Music. Sweet, sweet music. We never go too long without it ringing in our ears. But what about hearing and learning a new song? The kind that pulls you in, the kind that makes you want to sing. We were made to join in song, to be pulled into a great magnum opus. Did you know that?
Yes.
Did you know that? Do you believe it?
I do believe it.
Yes.
Our voices were made to adore the great composer and to sing his great composition, a new song. A new song. But what exactly is this new song? And why is it so catchy? Why are its hooks so good that it sinks into our souls? Well, this new song is about the salvation that God brings to the nations, to the entire world. It's so great, so powerful, so glorious. How could we keep from singing it? Well, the message of the tune is simple enough. The Lord is King. The Lord is King, and he reigns over the nations. And our first response might be, wait a second. Wait a second. Having a king doesn't sound so great to me. We don't particularly like kings in this country. We got rid of King George long, long ago. But every nation has a god or gods. Every nation. And they have changed shape over the centuries, but our psalm this morning tells us that they are mere idols. The Lord is King over all the earth. And this is good news. Amazing news. This is the best song imaginable because we need this King. This King who reigns not just over the nations of the world, but over us and in us and over death and over everything that is seen and unseen. Over everything. Everything. So to help us get started on this concept this morning, here's a little tune that will hopefully bring it all into focus.
God, you reign. God, you reign. God,
kingdom come. Your will be done.
God, you reign. God, you reign. God, you reign.
Let us join in this new song, the psalm is talking about. Let us hear it and learn it. Let us sing of our reigning King. If you'd like to follow along, we'll be beginning at Psalm 96, verse 1, found in your song sheets. Why is it so important that we sing this new song? The song of God's salvation and his reign over everything. It's our duty. But not duty as some sort of miserable obligation. You know, the character Stannis from Game of Thrones is always talking about his duty. Right? He always looks like he has food poisoning when he's talking about it. Ugh, I gotta do my duty. It always appears that he's grieved to do what he must. Well, duty here in this song is something joyful. Something joyful. And this joy comes from a sense of gratitude for what God has done and accomplished. Think of it this way. In the ancient world, a herald would come to bring tidings to those who were in waiting that a victory had been won and that the champion was on the way. It was a joyful duty to proclaim that news. Well, the psalm goes, "Publish his glorious deeds among the nations. Tell everyone about the amazing things he does." But yet, the king is not seen directly. Instead, we hear about his beauty, about his great strength, about his incredible majesty and glory. And here is where the power of our imaginations comes into play. Imagination is quite important in the spiritual life. We are given these descriptions of the king to imagine him. These striking attributes reveal him and why he is God alone, why he is worthy of praise alone. Because he is so marvelous and so grand and so awesome, there must be a human response. A human response of bringing tribute to him and doing homage before him. I've always been a big fan of knights. And I'm not talking about the Jedi from Star Wars, although I would absolutely love to have a lightsaber. It would make carving the turkey on Thanksgiving Day a lot better. But the knights I grew up loving were medieval knights, and especially of the tales of Arthur and the Round Table. And with a great king, tributes would be made to give homage before the king, and they would kneel. They would kneel before their king, and they would swear loyalty to him, fealty to him. For the singers of this song, which is the people of God, we are to see ourselves in this sort of role as kneeling before our king, on our knees, bringing our tributes to him, our offerings to him, our loyalty and our love to him. And of course, this means not only acknowledging how great and how awesome he is, but also seeing how not great we are and how much we need him. We are just merely the servants, the stewards, the heralds. And so the nations are to bring tribute to this God who reigns. The nations are to do homage before their rightful king. And the people of God are to tell the nations. In other words, they are to share and teach this song. God, you reign. God, you reign. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let the sea and everything in it shout his praise. Amen?
Amen.
God, you reign. God, you reign. How can we keep from sinning? When the Ark of the Covenant was brought to Jerusalem by King David, this psalm was sung. God's presence was among his people. His enthronement as king was in the praise and worship of his people. And that's something important for all of us to remember as we are called out from our houses on Sunday morning to gather and worship him. But the psalm doesn't just speak about what God has done. It also speaks about what God is going to do. He is coming to judge the earth with righteousness and to bring justice to the nations with his truth. And so now we must transition to see this psalm through the lens, through the goggles of Christ. How this song is all about the kingship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For Christ has come, and Christ will come again. The paschal mystery is quite apparent here in this psalm. Christ exposes the idols of the world for what they are: vapor, mist. And through Christ, God's kingdom rule is spreading among the nations of the world. But how? How is Jesus king? By his resurrection from the dead. All men must die because of sin. But he is the new Adam, the one by whom we have the hope of glory. What then is this new song to be sung to the nations? It is the victory of Christ, the Lamb of God, who was slain for the sins of the world upon the hard wood of the cross, but who rose triumphantly from the grave. You see, a new reality, a new age has already begun because of Jesus. And as the praise in heaven states about the Lamb of God, "For you were slaughtered, and your blood has ransomed people for God from every language and people and nation. And you have caused them to become a kingdom of priests." A kingdom of priests for our God. He is king not only over human hearts, but also over the nations and over everything. Everything seen and unseen, known and unknown. And the nations of the world are to sing this new song of his victory and his rule. How can we keep from singing? Singing this new song is what we've been called to do. Because Jesus is the king who reigns, the one who rules, we can go out and be heralds in the world, in the workplace, in our homes. Because all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him, we can go out and we can make followers of Christ, disciples of Christ, as we are growing in our own discipleship to Christ. That imagery of the road is always important. You're always going to meet someone on the road. Pick them up. Walk with them. Do life with them. Well, this commissioning of God's people occurs after the resurrection. So the resurrection is the foundation of the church's mission. How do we know this to be true? Peter's sermon at Pentecost basically says this: "Ascribe to the Lord, you nations, that the Lord is king." You see, Pentecost is the anti-Babel, anti-Tower of Babel. It's the undoing of it. The common tongue among the nations is now to be the song of the victorious Lamb of God. And the nations are to come into his mystical body, which is the church, and worship the risen one, the exalted one. To bring tribute to him, to kneel before him and do homage, to bow before him in love and fealty. How will they keep from seeing? Well, it's no surprise that we are given this text during Epiphany, the season as we reflect on the glory of Christ and God's mission to the world, to the nations. And you know, when I look at the psalm, I think about the joy of our duty. There is a joy to mission. There is a joy to participating in the life of Christ and being in his mission to the world. There's a great joy to that. To be a herald of the gospel of Jesus is a big deal. To sing out this new song is a great privilege. And of course, in all of this, there are places in our lives, in our minds, in our hearts, where we need to cry out, "Lord, reign in me." Because not all of us are there yet. Even the best of us here who put people here on the pedestal, not all of us are here yet. We haven't arrived. There's still places in me where I need to bow to the lordship of Christ. There's still places in all of you, I know. You need to bow to the lordship of Christ. So we need to cry out, "Lord, reign in me. Cast down this prideful thought. Rebuke this fear. Receive my offering and praise and sacrifice." And the life of his kingdom
does come breaking in to our lives, transforming us. And so it is with the nations of the world. When they hear the music of the reign of Christ, the victorious Lamb of God, the world will be transformed. It's already being transformed. And it will one day be completely made new. As Christ says, "Behold, I make all things new. The best is yet to come. The new heavens and new earth. Where we will reign in Christ and with Christ forever." All of us here are royalty. And we will inherit a great, great inheritance. And people from every nation, every tribe, every tongue will join in the everlasting song. That's what lies ahead of us. That is what will one day be fulfilled. Can you hear them? They are singing, "God, you reign." Can you hear them? They are singing, "Make his glorious deeds known among the nations." Can you hear them? They are singing, "He is coming to judge the earth." How great is our King? How great are his deeds that he has done? And how great are his deeds that he will one day do? How can we keep from singing? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your marvelous deeds throughout time and space. Grant that we, your people, may proclaim your new song to the nations through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.